Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Bebet. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Eddie Misri and family in honor of the rabbi, Teskel Mitzvot. Today's daf has been dedicated le'ilu nishmat acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihem began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Pei Bet Amud Rishon. We're going to start from the second line. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi made a statement. Kol makom she'amar Rabbi Yehuda. Ematai ubame b'mishnatenu. Eno era lefaresh devrei chachamim. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi gave a klal that whenever Rabbi Yehuda in Mishnayot introduces his statements by saying ematai, when was this said? Ubame, when is this case applicable? Bame devrei mamurim. He's not coming to argue on the previous opinion. He's just coming to explain the previous opinion, that opinion. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yohanan amar. Rabbi Yohanan said, Ematai lefaresh. He says, yeah, I agree with you. When he uses the word ematai, he's coming to interpret. Ubameh. When he says bameh devarim amurim, lahlok. Then he's coming to argue. So comes the Gemara and says, ve'ematai lefareshu. Are you telling me that everybody agrees that when it says the word ematai in the Mishnayot by the Biyuda, it's coming to explain? Ve'hatenam. What do you mean? We have a Mishnah. And what does it say? Ve'eluhena pesulim. The Mishnah here is discussing those people that are pasul for edut. They are pasul to give testimony. They're pasul to be witnesses. So the Gemara says, the first one that's pasul to be a witness, hamisachek bekubiya, which means that's a person that plays, literally kubiya, who's wooden pieces, they used to make dice out of them. Meaning he gambles or he wagers. So according to this, a misahik mekubya Rashi says be'iravon, meaning in wagering. So he's pasul le'edut. We will see exactly why. Umalve b'ribit, and somebody that charges interest, he lends money with interest. Umafrihe yonim. Rashi says, what is mafrihe yonim? Itakdeme yonach le'yoni. Meaning he's involved in pigeon racing. Which means that my pigeon will beat yours. It's also a form of gambling. The sochareh shevi'it, and those people that involve themselves in making business during the Shemitah year from produce. That she says sochareh shevi'it derachmana amar leochla velo leschora. Torah says you can eat the fruit of Shemitah, but you cannot have commerce in the fruits of Shemitah. That she vezeh shechomed mamon. Basically, the common denominator between all these cases is the man has a desire for money. La'avod avera ala mamon. Because his desire for money is so great that he'll transgress a sin, whether it's charging interest, whether it's wagering, etc., in order to make money. Rasha'hu. So he is considered a rasha. The Torah amra, when it comes to testimony, the Torah says, al tashet rasha'ed. So you're not allowed to allow a rasha to be a witness. So comes the Gemara and says, continuing in that Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Ematai, when was this said? Bizman she'en lo umanut. Elahi, when do we say that these gamblers are pasul to be witnesses? That's only talking about where they don't have any other trade or profession but that, which means they're professional gamblers. That's all they do all day long as a, for a living. Aval yesh lo umanut, shelohi, they have another umanut besides gambling, which they have a normal job, hare ze kasher. So then, they're kasher. Now what's the difference between whether it's the umanut or not? So that she says, the kasamar Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds asmachta, shehu nismach al dato shehu yinatzchenu, which is when people gamble, people wage. You don't go into a bet unless you expect to win, and therefore Rashi tells us, according to the Biyuda, this fact that you are somech, that you are going to beat and win, kanya, which means he holds that asmachta kanya, meaning that when one is gambling, one knows that he has a chance also to lose. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that says if he does lose the bet, it's not considered stealing. The other fellow, as if he made a condition, if I lose, it's your money. And he gives it to him, Belev Shalem. He's of the opinion that says, Asmachta Kanya. And therefore, technically, there is nothing wrong from a stealing point in gambling, according to the Biyuda. Which is even the one that loses, and the other guy takes, the winner takes the money, it's not considered stealing. Because he says, he gives it to him, Belev Shalem. And he knows he could win, he could lose. That's the opinion of the Biyuda. So then the question is, so why then is a gambler Pasul Eidut? He's not doing any isud. So he says, Velad gazlanim ninu. You're right, they're not gazlanim. So what's the isud then? Upsulayhu. You know what the psul is? Defi she'en asukin biyishuvo shel olam. When he's a professional gambler, well, that's all he does. He just wages all day long. So it's not that he's making an isud per se of gezel. He's not, according to the Biyuda. But the problem is, he's not involved in normal Yishuv Shel Olam, he's not involved in the normal derech of commerce and derech with interaction with people. And therefore, the fisha'in asukim Yishuv Shel Olam, the kiva, the en makirim bekim betorach misar bene adam, since they don't know the normal stress and the normal tsa'a that people have in making a living, enam hasim al havreim elav sidam mamon. So they have no compassion for people, and therefore they're pasul to be a witness, because this guy is prone to lie, because he doesn't care if this guy loses money. They have no sensitivity. They're not dealing with people all day long. And therefore, he's pasul, not because he did something of rishut in the sense that he's a gazlan. No, it's just that the nature of a professional gambler, since he's not involved with people, he loses sensitivity for people. And therefore, he doesn't have rahmanut on them. And therefore, for him, there's nothing wrong for him to lie, to take money innocently from one guy and give it to the other. So therefore, that's the Biyuda's logic. Not that they're gazlanim, but when they're a professional gambler, that's the only trade that they have, it ruins their nature to be honest. And therefore, they don't have rahmanut. And therefore, but if he's not a professional gambler, according to the Biyuda, he could be a kasher le'idut. Because in the gambling, it's not considered gazlanut, because asmachta, according to him, kanya, that therefore he gives him the money wholeheartedly. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, comes the Gemara and says, we're not finished the question yet. And we have a baraita. This was a Mishnah. We have a baraita that says, V'achamim omrim, ben she'en lo umanut, elahi, u'ben she'esh lo umanut, sheloi hare ze pasul. Clearly we see the opinion of the Hakamim spelled out in the Braita. They say it doesn't matter whether he's a professional gambler, meaning that's his only trade, or he has another profession. According to Hakamim, he always pasul. Why? Because Hakamim hold asmachta lo kanya. They hold that when a guy loses a bet, he doesn't give the money wholeheartedly. And therefore the guy who's taking it, he's really a gazlan. He's taking money that doesn't belong to him. And therefore, according to Hakamim, it's got nothing to do with how often does he do it or not. The bottom line, even if you're a gazlan, part-time, so you're a gazlan. And therefore, you're pasul le'adut. Oh, so what's the question of the Gemara? You see, clearly, Hakamim argue on Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda, he said his statement on the Hakamim of the Mishnah, and he said, Ematai, when did the rabbi say that he's pasul? Now, that ematai is not explaining the rabbis. Because we clearly see that the rabbis hold, it doesn't make a difference if he's osek be'umanut acher or not. Therefore, the Biyuda is arguing, and he used the word ematai. So, comes the Gemara and answers. Ahid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfonhi. Which means that braita that said, v'hakamim omrim, it's not the same hakamim of the Mishnah. The Hakamim of the Braita is Rabbi Tarfon. Different Tana. And Rabbi Tarfon indeed holds that there's a difference between Yeshla Umanut Acheret and in the Umanut Acheret. But in the Mishnah, that Hachamim is the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was explaining the opinion by using Ematai of the Mishnah. You thought that the Hachamim of the Braita is that same opinion? No, it's not. The Hachamim of the Braita is a different opinion. That's Shitat Rabbi Tarfon that does make a Chiluk. Comes the Rashi, Hahi. Braita Mishum Rabbi Tarfon hi. Da'amar asmachta lo kanya. But in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda using the word of Ematai is coming to explain that opinion. So it all works out. Now, before we go even further, it should be pointed out the way Tosfot learns over here. Tosfot learns that all these cases that we're talking about, that we say that they're pasul le'edut, is talking about people that are making isure derabbanan. And that is the hidush. And he explains, for example, here, katva tosfot, that all these pisulim over here we're talking about where they made a pisul that's not from the Torah, even if they're only resha'im, let's say, midrabbanan, and that's the hidush. Because otherwise, if a guy is pasul medoraita called tosfot, but Pashita, what do you tell me? Of course he's Pasul Le'idut. What do I need a Gemara to tell me? Right. Ella, coming to tell you, even guys that are only transgressing Yisurim, that are only Drabbanan. So how did you explain that? So he says, even Misachek Bekubya, the guy that's gambling, even according to the opinions that say, Asmachta Lokanya, that's not a Pasul De'oraita. Even opinion that says that it's not a, it's Gezel, gambling would be gezel midrabbanan. And therefore, that's tradition of Misachek Bekuvya. Mafrihei Yonim, so now Mafrihei Yonim, we have two explanations, incidentally. We explain it as races, pigeon racing. So pigeon racing, again, is gambling. So it's the same thing. Asmakta lokanya, but it's only Yisur, to the banan. Some explain that they would train pigeons to go steal other pigeons from other dovecotes. Which means you would train your dove, right? And all of a sudden he'd go fly away and he'd, lure other pigeons to come back to your... Now that's only Yisur D'Rabbanan. You're really not doing it B'yadayim. You're not doing it Mamash Yichayim. You trained your dove that. So it's also Yisur D'Rabbanan. Malveh B'ribit. We're talking about where it wasn't Ribit Kitzutza, meaning it wasn't a set price where you told the guy, I'm lending you 1,000, you have to pay me 1,200 back. That would be Ribit Deoraita. So by the beach in a kitutza where it wasn't defined at the time of the loan exactly how much more you have to pay back, which is only Isur the Rabbanan. And so Harish Shivit is talking about in our time. Shemitah Bizman Aziz the Rabbanan. Shemitah today is not Deoraita, so Shemitah Bizman Aziz the Rabbanan. So therefore, Harish Shivit is also Isur the Rabbanan. So that's the way Tosfot learns all the cases. In any event, there is a big question, the halakha. Who we posek like? The Tosfot is posek like Rabbi Yehuda. So according to the Tosfot, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you can gamble. Because as long as it's not your profession. And you're also not going to be pasul le'edut as well. However, there's a whole discussion in Harambam, how to learn Shitat Harambam. And it's ma'asbar from Harambam that he's not posek like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore he holds asmachta lo kanya. And therefore, if that's the case, somebody that gambles, at least with Jews, so it's going to be a problem of gezel, or gezel with Rabbanan, let's say, according to some shittot. But still, it would be a problem nonetheless. And then you'd have a problem of psulei aidut, because if you're saying that it's asmakta lokanya, then you don't have to come on to whether he's a professional or not, whether he's doing it as a full time or not. Once you're ready, he's a gambler, according to the shittot that say it's asmakta lokanya, he's psulei aidut. Immediately. So the whole question, you have Edut under the Chuppah, Edek Kiddushin, Edek Ketubah, if the guy is involved in he plays cards for money, so you have an issue. So Maran says that the only time we posel them, Me'edut, is when there was a Hachrasa and Beddin. Which means Beddin has to get the case, get the evidence of it, and announce it. It'll have to be Hachrasa. So today we don't have Hakraza with Beit Din, but still it's for a person's own conscience. He has to know that this would be Isur Drabbanan, at least in his own mind he has to know the severity of it. In any event, comes the Gemara and says, the Tanya. We have a braita, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. We have a statement that Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Tarfon. Le'olam in echad mehem nazir, lefi she'en nizirut ela lehafla'a. New case. The case is talking about two people are sitting and a fellow walks by them. So one of the people, one of the men that are sitting say like this, if this guy, I will be a Nazir, he's accepting upon himself a vow of Nazirut, meaning that he can't shave for 30 days, he can't drink wine, etc. So he says, I'll be a Nazir if this guy walking by us is a Nazir himself. And the other guy says, you know, I'll be a Nazir if this guy walking by is not a Nazir. So the deen is, en ehad mehem Nazir. None of them are Nazir. Why? She'en nizirut ela lehafla'a. Hafla'a literally is an utterance, is a verbal declaration. But when you make the utterance of nizirut, it has to be defined. You can't accept nizirut on a condition if this guy, it's pending, meaning it's safek. When the Torah uses the lashon lehafli, that word is used by nizirut. That means it has to be a clear utterance at the time of the nizirut. That she says lehafla'a. Actually, let's read the Rashi before that. En echad mehem nazir, shnayim sheyoshvim, v'ra'u echad, one is coming, ve'amar echad mehem, hareni nazir, shezeh nazir, I'll be nazir if this guy's a nazir, ve'omer chaviru, hareni nazir, she'en zeh nazir. So it says, la'afla'a, sheyehen nidro mefurash ala vaday. It has to be explicit on the vaday, on the certain, ve'lo betorat, Safek, in nazir oto abakenegdo. Now, so what is the Gemara want to say over here? Alma, kevan de mesafkele in nazir lo naziru. Since, what's the logic why he's not a nazir? Since, when he said his nazirut, he's not sure if it's going to catch or not, because he doesn't know what the status of the guy walking by. Lo mishabed nafsheh. So therefore, it's not a real acceptance. Which means the hisaron is on the guy himself who made the neder. Which means when a guy makes a neder that's, questionable, so I mean, he really didn't subjugate himself to a true nazirut. Because what? He's thinking, it could be the guy, let's say he said, if the guy is a nazir, I'll be a nazir. Yeah, but there's an option that the guy is not a nazir. So therefore, since that option is open, he did not truly, full-heartedly accept upon himself. Now, who's making that statement? Rabbi Tarfon. So you see, Rabbi Tarfon's the opinion what? That when there's a question that can go either way, you're not wholeheartedly giving it. So the same thing by gambling. When a person knows that he could win, but he also knows there's an option he could lose, so therefore, since there's an option that he could lose, even though he knows that going in, but he wants to win. And therefore, when he gives the money up in a bet, it's not wholeheartedly. Because, right, even though, it doesn't matter, koi to the bitafon. That's right, koi to the bitafon, it's nothing to do with the professional or not. The point is, asmakta lokanya. That's the proof. We're trying to prove asmakta lokanya. And that's the bitafon. So the same thing, like the bitafon said by nizirut, when it's not clear, so he's not mishabed. So the Gemara says, hachanameh. Kevan delo yada ikane ilo kane. Right, he doesn't know if he's going to win or not. Lo gavaru makneh. So he doesn't makneh over full-heartedly. As he says, ikane inatzach. Meaning if he's going to win or not. And therefore, who's that opinion? Rabbi Tarfon. So it makes sense that the braita we were trying to say is a different shita. The braita shita of Rabbi Tarfon, the same shita that he holds by Nezirut, Hadran, Alach, Halom. Now we start the 8th Perek Ketzad Mishtatefin. And we begin with the Mishnah. Now we're going back to Eruv Tehomin for a moment. How to make the Eruvet Tehomin. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad Mishtatefin B'Tehomin. How do you make the Shituf for Tehomin? Which means now, it's really not a shituf, but let's say you're making it for others. You know, you want to make it, let's say, for the people of the city. You want to put the Eruv in a certain spot, and they should be able to walk 2,000 amah from that spot. So kesa mishtatevim etechumim, maniach et ha-chabit. He places the chabit, the barrel. The barrel has in it food, like we learned earlier, wine or figs or dates, whatever it is. Ve'omer, hare ze lechol bene'iri. Says, this is for all my people of my city. Lechol mi sheyelech lebet ha'avel o lebet ha'mishteh. Which means, whoever wants to go to the house of mourning, or whoever wants to go to the wedding, it seems there was a wedding to go to on Shabbat, or Sheva Berachot, or Bet Avel Bar Minan, and therefore it's mitzvah. So we're learning over here again, Eruv Tehomin is only Litzorech mitzvah. And the Ritva points out that's one of the reasons why I put Avel before Bet Mishteh, is based on a pasuk in by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov Lalechet El Bet Avel, Melelechet El Bet Mishteh. I mean, it's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a party, because a person will receive musar. So the Mishnah is giving us a subtle musar over there. In any event, he says, whoever's planning on going to the wedding, they're going to need this tum. They're going to need this eruv. So if they're planning on going to the wedding or to the Bet Abel, I'm putting it there for them so they'll be able to walk. That she says, Lismoch al... Eruv zeven lech mutar. The Gemara says further, Mishnah. V'chol shekibel olam mebe'od yom. Anybody that accept the pardon himself, mebe'od yom. That what? That he wants to rely on this eruv that was placed for him in order that he could walk to the wedding. So that already mutar. Of course, already mebe'od yom. He accepted upon himself that the eruv is going to be for him. Mishetachshak asur. But if the guy decides, mishetachshak, after he got died, you know what? I'm going to use that eruv to go to the wedding. Too late. She'en me'arvin mishetachshach. Because you cannot have your eruv set up for you after it's dark. You have to accept upon yourself the eruv from day. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Yosef, en me'arvin ela lidvar mitzvah. You can only make eruv tehumin for the purpose of a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Maika mashma'alan, what's the hiddush? Tanina, Lakol mi sheyelech lebet ha'avel, lakol mi sheyelech lebet ha'avel, or lebet ha'mishteh, it's ha'mishnah. Meaning the eruv is only made for people that want to go either to the wedding or to the bet ha'avel. So therefore, peshita, what are you telling me over here, Rabbi Yosef, only for dvar mitzvah? Isn't that an explicit mishnah? I would have thought urcha demilta katani. I would have thought, yeah, the mishnah is just giving examples. Kamash ma'alan. So therefore the Mishnah has to come along and tell us what? That no, these examples are dafka. Rabbi Yosef is saying these examples are precise. And only these cases one can make an eruv, because it is sorech mitzvah. Comes the Gemara and continues. V'chol shekibel alav mebe'od yom. Oh, so the Mishnah said, he has to accept upon himself to go to the wedding, mebe'od yom, and therefore to use the eruv. But if he didn't, if he accepts it at night, it's not good. Now, if you remember, we learned the principle many times so far as we've been learning, the principle called berera. What does berera mean? Literally, berera means selection. But berera would be used like this. We need a guy to make a decision by day. Right? When the guy didn't make his decision by day, the Mishnah says, it's no good. But if you use the principle of Berera, Berera says like this, at night, when he decides to go to the wedding and use the Eruv, we'll say that retroactively that was in his mind already from the beginning. Which I can say, Hubrada Davale Mafreya, I'll say that retroactively it's evident that what? And that's what the guy wanted to do. He didn't express it at that time. It took him time to express it until the night. So obviously from this Mishnah you see we're not using the principle of Berera. Because the Mishnah is telling you, listen, if he had an explicit intent during the day, fine. If he didn't, until the night, he's out. It's like the Siddur Ne'eruv. So the Gemara says, Shma Mina in Berera. From here, this Mishnah, you see that we're not working with the principle of Berera. Di'i yesh Berera. Because if there was a principle of Berera, Tigle Milta Lemafraya. Let's say that retroactively, Temebe'od Yom Hava Nihaleh. And we'll say that Be'od Yom by day was Nihaleh, acceptable to him to go. Let's read Yashi. No, not yet. Amar Rav Asher. So Rav Asher comes along and says, "Now, no proof. Hodi'uhu velo hodi'uhu ketani." It's not like we read the Mishnah whether the guy accepted upon himself or not. It's if he was informed or not. Which means, in the case of the Mishnah, if he wasn't informed about it, which means he doesn't even know there's a wedding, he doesn't even know there's Iruv. So therefore, in that case, how could you say Bidira? Where at night they told him, oh, by the way, there's a wedding, and we send the Iruv up. In that case, you can't say, well, Lemafreya, on Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat, he had no Yediyah. So in that case, there'll be no Bidira. Look at Rashi. Hodi'uhu mibi'od yom, velo hodi'uhu ketani. Meaning like this. Hodi'uhu, let's say they informed him mibi'od yom. Afalpi shelo netratse mibi'od yom. The guy didn't agree yet. The guy didn't accept yet to go mibi'od yom to the wedding. Vetratse mishashecha. But he knew about it before. So long as he knew about it before, but didn't agree until after Amrina and Huvrar, then we could say Bidira. Shekodim zman kiriyat eruv da'to lekachaya. However, lo di'u ha'shecha. But if they didn't tell him until after ha'shecha, my Bidira ika ha'lo havai adadika eruv. He didn't even know it's eruv. Denema da'te'a lehavai. Where you could say, well, that was his da'at. That was his da'at. He didn't even know it was eruv in existence. So therefore, in the Mishnah can be going with the principle of Bidira. But the difference is, hodi'uhu velo hodi'uhu. Comes Gemara further. New point. Amar Rav Aseh said. What's that here? Do we have any extra letters here? Okay, ketubot. Fine. Katan. You have a minor. Ben Shesh. He's 6 years old. Yotze be'eruv immo. Hiddush. You don't have to make a special eruv tehumin for the minor. He's drawn after the eruv tehumin of his mother. Rashi. Erba immo le'atzma. The mother made an eruv for herself. Ve'lo zichta lo be'eruv. She did not mizake the katan in her eruv. Doesn't matter. Molichato imma. Why? Dichgufa dame. Because the child is considered one with the mother. De mistama data ale de lo sagile belav immo. Talk about a minor cannot be separated from his mother. A child needs the mother. So therefore, it's assumed wherever the mother can go, the child automatically is drawn after the mother. Whose opinion is that? That is the opinion of Rav Aseh. And his cutoff point is 6 years old. 6 years old already, a katan is still needed to be with the mother, and therefore he's drawn after the eruv of the mother. Wherever the mother can walk, she can walk. So comes the Gemara and says, Metibe. Gemara brings a question from a braita. Katan chesarich le'immo. You have a katan, and we don't know how old he is yet, but we just know that tzarich le'immo. He needs his mother. Yotze be'eruv immo. Perfect. He can be yotze with the eruv of the mother. V'she'en tzarich le'immo, meaning he's a little older, en yotze be'eruv immo. So far, no contradiction. Vitnan name gabe sukkah ki hai gavna. And by sukkah, the laws of sukkah, we also learned a similar law. Meaning, katan she'en sarich le'immo haya besukkah. Which means, what's the age, or what's the factor? To mehayev a child in the sukkah or not? Does he need his mother? If he needs his mother, well, the mother is petura from sukkah. The mother's sitting in the house, so the kid can go sit in the house with the mother. If he's already older, where he doesn't need his mother, then the kid, you have to mehanech him, and you have to put him in the sukkah. Rashi, v'tnan namega besukkah, klomar. Why does the Mishnah, or why does the Gemara need to also bring us this case of Sukkah? So that she just tells us, Kilomar, V'chi tema ben shesh sarich le'imo karile, which means, what's your question? You didn't bring me a question, you just told me, if he needs his mother, then he's drawn after the Eruv. I'll tell you, that means he's 6 years old. Why is that a question on Nebaseh? So the Gemara says, Haleka le'imo, ditnan namega besukkah ki agavna. Because we learned by Sukkah the same factor, tzarich le'imo not, uparshinan hatam hekatan tzarich le'imo. We're going to see immediately that by Sukkah they give us an age. And the age is not 6 years old. So therefore, from the first statement of Eruv, because the Gemara brought a question from a Braita. The first Braita was, katan tzarich le'imo, covered with the Eruv. I can say, yeah, that's 6 years old. Ah, but we learned by Sukkah the same idu sarich le'imo or not, and by Sukkah it tells us the age is not 6. And therefore we have a question against Nabaseh. And the Gemara goes further in its question. Vavinan ba, and we analyzed. Ve'ezehu katan, she'en sarich le'imo. What is considered a katan that does not need his mother? And if it would be Hayav in Sukkah, Amri deber Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Yanai taught, Kol shenifne ve'en imo mekanahato. If the child can go to the bathroom and doesn't need the mother to clean him up after, that's already in Sarich le'imo. That's the litmus test. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, Kol sheni'ur ve'eno kore ima. Any child that when he wakes up, let's say in the middle of the night, and he doesn't call mommy, then already you know he's independent. So the Gemara says, what? Ima salkadatach? Gidolim namekaru. Which is what do you mean? Even older children, when they wake up, they call their mother. So how can that be the litmus test for a katan? Ela. I say like this, Kol shini'ur mishinato ve'eno kore ima ima. Which means that you consistently call. Which means a gadol calls his mother once, she doesn't answer, next, he goes back to sleep. But a katan, ima ima, he doesn't stop, it's persistently calling the mother till she responds. So that's already the litmus test according to the Bishimon, what's considered a katan she'en le'imo, that when he gets up, he doesn't call ima ima. Now we still don't know an age. So the Gemara goes further. It's building its question. Vekama. Oh, and what's the shi'ur? Kevar arva, kevar hamesh. Depends on the maturity of the child. Between 4 and 5. Now let's see the bottom rashi. Vekama, bar kama shanehave. How old is this child that we're talking about? Kebar arba, kebar hamesh. Kari le en sarich le'imo. Once he's 4 or 5, which is 5 is already the oldest, finished, that's the cutoff. Once he's 5 years old already, en sarich le'imo. Continue. Kol had lefum chorfe. Each one according to his maturity and sharpness. You know, some children mature earlier than even a 4-year-old is considered en sarich le'imo. Some older. Alma, but what do you imply from here? Michiave barhamesh ba'el zechuye. Once already he's 5 years old, you have to be mezakeh his own eruv. V'tfe mi barhamesh lo kari le sarik le'imo de nipuk. You have to change it to hamesh. More than 5 already, it's already considered a gadol. So the question is against Rav Aseh. Rav Aseh said 6. So comes again. So comes again. Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua bere de Rav Idi. Rabbi Yoshua is going to answer the question. Ki ka amar Rav Aseh kegon she'irev alav abiv lasafon ve'imo ladarom. Da'afilu bar shesh nameh betzabata de'imeh nihale.
Hedush, you're right. Six already is an adult. We're not arguing. Just like you told me in Sukkah, the cutoff point is five. Mm-hmm. Once he's six already, he's a gadol, you got to make his own eruv. And that was the case. But the case was, he had two eruvs working for him. The father made him an eruv in one direction, and the mother made the child an eruv in the other direction. The hidush of Rav Aseh is, which eruv kicks in? The eruv of the mother. Because since a child of six is still more attached to his mother, he might not be considered tzarik le'imu. But if it's a choice between his mother and his father, who both made an eruv for him, so then already we opt that he's going to go with his mother. So therefore there's no stira. In a kerameh, Rav Aseh agrees, once already he's five, like we learned in Sukkah. Finish. En tzarik le'imu. This guy Tomei was talking about a hidush that even at the age of six, there's still an attachment to the mother, nafka mina, where the eruv was made for him, but by the father as well. Tap Rashi. Abba Rabbi Yoshua. Vadai kida amart. Exactly like you thought. Ben hamisha enu yotze ad shi arbu alav. Cut off point is five. V'rav aseh nameh b'sha'ir ba'imu alav kamar. And Rav Aseh Vadai is talking about where the mother made an eruv. V'kamash b'amdi mirbu alav abiv l'ru'a acheret batar imo shadin aneh. That you throw him to the side of the mother. Comes Gemara and says, Metive. We have a question from a braita. Katan shesarich le'immo. Right? You have a katan that needs his mother. Yotze be'eruv immo. He's yotze with the eruv of his mother. Ad ben shesh. Oh. Now here's a strong question. Because it's clearly telling you up until six. Which means four, five, six. Which means up until the age of six, you're still considered what? Katan tzitzarich le'immo. Now that's going to be a question on the Rabbi Yoshua. Yeah, the Gemara says, Tiyuftad Rabbi Yoshua bar Rav Idi. Because Rabbi Yoshua bar Rav Idi, he's the one that came along and said that really you're right. The cutoff point is five. And what? Rav Aseh was talking about a different deen where both the mother and the father. So what are you talking about? From this braita over here, it clearly is what? Telling you that the cutoff point is six. Now look at the top Rashi, third line actually. Meti ve'ad ben shesh. Now we're just going to read, Hagaot Abachai just to get to Rashi's words. Ad ben shesh ve'hacha, I'm just reading the Bach. Ve'hacha leka lememar b'she'irev alav ze lekan ve'ze lekan. Just here you can't tell me that it's talking about where you have simultaneous erubin, and the Hadush of the Braita is just telling me that he's drawn after his mother. No, no, no. Because it clearly says there ad ketani. The Braita says until six. Demashma ben shana, ben shnatayim, ben shalosh. Meaning ad means anything until six. 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. That's clearly tzarich le'imo. And they're telling you that any time from 1 to 6 is considered tzarich le'imo. Ad ben shesh yotze be'eruv emo. V'chi hechi de ben shana u ben shtayim belo zikeh eruv ka'amar, ben dalur u ben enameh belo eruv ka'amar. I mean, and no one's going to argue that a child 1 or 2 years old is tzarich le'imo. So therefore, ad shesh means even 4 and 5. V'chi nami amin ad velo ad bechlal. Now even if you're going to tell me ad velo ad bechlal, when you tell me 6, but not including 6, that means once already he's, which means when he's 5 already, I mean once he's starting his 6th year, which is in the 5th year, 5 in 1 day already, he's in his 6th year. So he says, have yet to yuftad to Rabbi Yoshua. It's still a question called to Rabbi Yoshua. De tarich de ben he sarich leskotlo. Which means, because he came along and said that The way he learned in Masechet Sukkah is Ben He. Already Ben Hamesh already is considered an adult. Here he's saying Ben He, even if it's 5 in 1 day, you're still considered a Katan, Sadiq Lemo. So therefore you still have a Tiyufta, Od Pa'am, there's a lapse. According to the way we answered Sukkah, that's on the bottom, right? We said Vekama, Arba V'Hamesh. So Hamesh means at 5 and a day, he's still considered what? Tzarich Le'mo. Oh, but now, and Tzarich Le'mo. 5 and a day. Here, in this Braita, it's my, no, he tell you up until 6. Which up until 6 means what? Even in the 6th birthday, you still consider me 5 in a day, still consider a Katan. So that's a question against the Yoshua. So comes the Gemara and says, Tiyufta, did Rabbi Yoshua bar Rav Idi? Tiyufta. Finished. That's a refutation. We cannot answer this Braita according to him. But the Gemara says, Lema Tehevet Tiyufta, did Rav Aseh? Do we have to say that this Braita is a question against Rabbi Yoseh? When I say Rav Aseh, look at Rashi. Lema Tevet Tiyufta Rav Aseh, De'ad Velo Ad Bechlal Mashma, Viyu Amar Afilu Ben Shesh. Which means he came along and said, even 6 is Mashma, meaning you have it till 6 in a day. While this Braita is Mashma until 5 in a day. So do we have to say that there's a Mahloket? Or is there a way we can answer it up for Rav Aseh? So comes the Gemara and says, yeah, we can answer it. Gemara says, again, whenever you see Lema, Tevet Yufta, means the Gemara is saying, is it a question? Is it a question according to Rav Aseh, or can we answer? Lema Tevet Yufta, Rav Aseh, Amar Lecha Rav Aseh, Ad Ve'ad Bechlal. I can tell you that when it's said in this Braita, Ad Ben Shesh, it means ad ve'ad bichlal, which means don't stop it at 5 and a day. Go all the way until 6. And therefore, it's exactly what he said. Ad ben shesh, and this Braita says ad shesh, which is in Rabbi Yoshua, you were stuck. Because in Rabbi Yoshua, no matter how you're going to learn, you have a problem. Even if, because he learned that what, already 5 is the cutoff. Now, even if you're going to learn, if you learn Ad Ve'ad Bechlal, certainly you have a question. If you learn Ad Ve'ad Bechlal, you still have a question, because here it's saying 5 in a day is Insanik Le'mo. So there was no, this Tiyufta, you're broken. But in Rav Aseh, his statement was Shesh. Ben Shesh, Sanik Le'mo. Good, and we have a bright over here that says, Ad Ben Shesh, Insanik Le'mo. So yeah, Ad Ben Shesh means Ad Ve'ad Bechlal. Ad Ve'ad Bechlal, that means finish the 6 years, just exactly what Rav Aseh said. Maybe we can answer that. Question, no problem. Now the Gemara comes along and says, Lema tevet tiyufta de Rav Yanai ve Rish Lakish. Now, what's Rav Yanai and Rish Lakish? Right, Rashi. Look at Rashi. Lema tevet tiyufta de Rav Yanai ve Rish Lakish. The Mefarshika de Sukkah, they were the ones that explained by Sukkah, Bar Arba, Ubar Hamsha, right? They said 4 or 5. Kari le, en sarich le'emo. Right? That's still considered en sarich le'emo. Ve'achatani yotze be'eruv emo. And here it says that already at 6, yotze be'eruv emo. Right? You can, not a problem. That was the bright that we brought over here. Ve'tanya, let's say the el. Okay, Amud Aleph. The katan she'enu tzarich le'emo enu yotze be'eruva. So we know the rules. A katan is en tzarich le'emo. You don't need any eruv. I'm sorry. Katan she'en tzarich le'emo enu yotze be'eruva. He needs his own eruv. And there you told me the cutoff point was what? 4 or 5. That's the Yanai and the Mishimon. That's the way they interpreted the Mishnah in Sukkah. And now they tell me we have a bright over that says what? 6. So comes the Gemara and says, no problem with them. Had ite abu b'mata, had lo ite abu b'mata. Depends if his father is in the town or his father is not in the town. Meaning, Rashi. Had ite le abu b'mata, v'tinuch nichnas v'yoseim. If the father's around and the kid's going with the father, lo kari le tzarich le'imo mi bin dalirul ma'ala. That's already from 4 years old already in Siddiq Lo, because his father's around.
So what does it mean?
So he's dependent on his father. He doesn't need his mother. Okay. However, Ubaraita, and the Baraita that said six, that's why the father's not around. They're ready. He's dependent on the mother. Now, the Rabbi Yoshua, lo matzil shnuye hache. Which means the Rabbi Yoshua, he's the one that said what? He's the one that learned that what? That 4 and 5 is the shi'ud, and therefore we had a question on him, and therefore he answered Rav Aseh. That's talking about where the father made one eruv and the mother made another eruv. Why can't he just answer? Simple. This is talking about where the father is with him, and therefore the cutoff point is 4 or 5, and the Aseh is talking about where the father is not with him, and therefore you have until 6. Why can't you answer that? So the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Yoshua lo matzil ishnu yachidah ki utvina l'Rav Aseh le'el." When we ask this question, Rav Aseh, "Im ita di'it l'Rabbi Yoshua hay sevara?" If Rabbi Yoshua held this sevara, hachi avi meshani le the Rav Aseh. He should have answered that Rav Aseh said bedelet l'abu b'mata v'nema bedelo hirev shari v'shmin nebuta, which means teach me the bigger hadush, which means Rabbi Yoshua came along and told me once the kid is 6, you never can have him sumech on the eruv of his mother. He needs his own eruv. That was Rabbi Yoshua's answer. If you held of this answer, that's a bigger hadush. Tell me there's a case where even if he's 6, you can still rely on the mother if the father is not in the town. And from the fact that Rabbi Yoshua didn't answer that, must be doesn't hold of that. Because again, it's a big haidush. So therefore, let's just review what we came out over here. Comes out like this. We had a statement of Rav Aseh. He was the one that started off telling us what? Ben Shesh. Right? Ben Shesh. Which means...
Sixth birthday?
What? When he's 5 until the 6th birthday. 6.
Finishes
the 5th. He goes all the way to 6th. Till exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Until
the start of the 7th year. Right. He completed 6 years. Right. Ad Bichlal, we call that. So therefore he's 6. So what's the deen? He's still covered with his mother.
Yeah.
So the Gemara right away asked the question, what do you mean? From the Sukkah we see, the cutoff point is 4 or 5. So the Rabbi Yoshua Bered Rav Idi came along, and he said, no, you're right. You're right. Sukkah is the ikar. The cutoff point is 5, let's say. What did the Rabbi Yoshua said 6? Start out with there was 2 eruvim. And the Kanami, his mother made an eruv, his father made an eruv. And he needs to make an eruv for him because he's of age. Okay, that was the answer. So Gemara says, wait. Metibe. But we had a question. The question was what? Katan shetzarich le'imo. So long as he needs his mother, what? He's covered with the eruv. And what is that? Shi'ur until he needs his mother? Ad ben shesh. Until 6. Now ad ben shesh means what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Until 6. That means what? Even the age of 5, you're still considered needing your mother. That's how the Rabbi Yoshua Bar Idi, Bered Rav Idi was knocked out. So then the Gemara said, but what about Rav Aseh? We know Rav Aseh, we can answer. Rav Aseh, who said shesh, and the Baraita that says shesh, the shesh is ad v'ad bichlal, and therefore it's the same shi'ur. The only problem is, what do you do with the Mishnah in Sukkah that said 4 or 5? So to that, the Gemara answers, we're talking about there's a difference if his father's with him or his father's not with him. Meaning, in Sukkah, the father's with him. And therefore, the maturity age is younger. And therefore, already at 5, already he's going to be Hayav in Sukkah, because it's considered Ansarich Le'emo. But she'enken, in the case of the Eruv, I'll tell you when it says 6, because his father is not with him, therefore sarich le'emo, and therefore he needs to make the Eruv, which means, therefore the mother makes the Eruv, and he is drawn after, because the father is not with him. Now let's read that in, we read that actually already, perfect. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Me'arev Adam al yede beno ubito haketanim, which means we learned earlier that, well, it's bright actually, that it's permissible to make an eruv, that she says bishvilan, for them, for your
son and daughter that are minors, valiyedeh, and four avdo v'shifrato kena'anim, your servants that are kena'anim, ben de'da'atan ben shelo de'da'atan, whether they know about it or whether they don't know about it. Why? Because they are drawn after you. They're like your possession, so to speak. And therefore, they follow you. You don't have to tell them, the ketanim, that you made an iru for them. It's automatic. Aval, eno me'arev lo al yedei avdo v'shifhato ha'evrim, when it comes to your Jewish servants, ve'lo al yedei beno b'to ha'gedolim, or your adult children, ve'lo al yedei ishto, or for that matter, his wife, ela middatam. There, iruf tachomin we're talking. You have to do it middatam, because since they're adults, so therefore, they have their rights, so to speak, so you have to let them know that you made the iruf for them. So comes Gemara and says, Tanya idach, we have another blaita. Lo ye'irav adam al yedeh beno ubito ha'gedolim, ועל ידי עבדו ושפחתו העברים, ולא על ידי אשתו, אלא מדעתן. Again, גדולים, עבד עברים, אשתו, מדעתן. אבל, מערב הוא על ידי עבדו ושפחתו הכנענים, ועל ידי בנו וביתו הקטנים, בין לדעתן, בין שלא לדעתן. Why? מפני שידן כידו. Because their hand is like his hand, which means an extension of him. And therefore, he's koveya where they are going to be. He doesn't even have to tell them. So comes Gemaran says, V'chulan she'irbu ve'irev alehim. Let's say they made their own iruv. We'll see who the they is in a second. Ve'irev alehin, and the master or the father made the eruv. Whose wins out? It says Rabban. Ve'irev alehim Rabban yotzim beshel Rabban chutz mina isha. Meaning, let's say you have two eruvim that were made. They made their eruv. They will see who was in the second day. Obviously, let's say it was the ketanim for a second. If the ketanim made their own eruv, and the father made their own iruv, or the Eved Kenanis made their own iruv, and the master made their own iruv. So you got two iruvs going on here. What's the deen? You follow the master. So it says, Chutz min ha'isha, except for the wife, mipnei sheyichola limchot, because she's able to protest. She can say, what do you mean? Why am I? I'm my own person. I'm not drawn after. I'm a gadol. Mm-hmm. So the question is then, you're putting everybody on one side, meaning, even Gedolim, even Eved Evrim, everybody's on one side, Isha's on the other side. It's a Chutz Me'isha. Mashma Kulan means everybody. That means even a Gadol. That made his... You want to give the answer? Now in the question. So the Gemara is saying that in a case where they all made the Eruv, and the master made the Eruv as well, so then it goes after the master, except the wife. So the Gemara says, Mai Shena, Isha Mai Shena. Why is the lady different? Which means she shouldn't be any different than the Benam Kedolim, or the Eved Avri, or any, they also have rights. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amarava Isha, V'chol dedamela. It means not only Isha, it means that anybody that's similar to the Isha, meaning Gedolim, Eved Evrim. So who is it coming to exclude? Ketanim and Kenanim. Exactly. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Mor. Chutz min ha'isha mipenei sheyichola limchot. So the Gemara analyzes now. You're telling me the logic of the lady is why? Because she can protest. She can come along and say, what do you mean? I don't want my eruv over here. I bought my eruv in the other spot. Tama demahe. That's only because she protested. Hastama. But if she kept quiet, stama nafka bidebala. It's masma, she's yotze
What does a master, according to this, the only time she's not yotze is because she protested. The master, in all other cases, when the husband makes it for her,
she follows it.
Her acquiescence is considered acceptance. What do you mean? Haketani resha. But what do you mean? We learned in the resha and the braita, ela middartan.
It has to
be what?
Middartan,
my love. And what does middartan mean? The amre in, where she said, yes.
I'm in.
Mashma, that until she says yes, it's not considered in Iruv. So we have a stira. So we have a stira.
No.
We have a stira. In one place it's mashma. It isn't Iruv until she protests. And in one place it's mashma, that it's not until she says,
I'm in.
Yes. So she has to actually make meaning silence is not considered in Iruv.
So that's the question here.
So that's the stira. So the Gemara says, no. My ela midatam. You know what midatam means? The ishtik. Midatam means she kept quiet. So therefore, that's where the Gemara wants to learn now. That a husband makes an eruv, in all cases, a husband makes the eruv for the lady. If she keeps quiet, it's an eruv. Certainly if she says yes, because it will. The only time it's not going to be eruv, meaning she has rights to say, no. I don't want. So the Gemara says, Ha vechulan she'irbu ve'irev alehen Ramban yotzim b'shel Ramban, which means we have the bright that said if two erubim were made, right? They were made by the master and they were made by the other members. So when we say yotze b'shel Ramban, that's the Dalid. Vistamahu. And this is a case of talking about over here where we didn't see anybody protest. It's just stama. Right? The Beraita doesn't talk about somebody saying, I'm against it, right? And what did the end of the Beraita say? V'ketani, chutz min ha'isha de'lo nafke. So, and the end of the Beraita said, except for a lady that's not yotze. And what's that a case of? Stama. So what are we seeing over here? That you're wrong. That you don't have to protest. It's enough for it to be quiet and still considered no Eruv. Because again, that Braita did not mention anything about protest. Yeah. He just said, he made one, they made one. What's the deen? He wins. Except the wife. In the case of Stamma. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Amar Rava, kevan she'irbu en necha mihuy gadol mizeh. What are you talking about? You have to remember the case of the Braita. They made an Eruv, and he made an Eruv. By them making an Eruv, that's the biggest protest. Which means, which is really the principle that we said above, is true. That what? That until they protest, the eruv that the father or the husband made is considered an eruv. And only protesting can undo it. So we said, what do you mean? We had a case over here where they both, the wife made an eruv and the husband made an eruv. And we said, what? It goes after the wives. And that was in a case where she kept quiet. The Gemara says, she kept quiet. She made an Eruv. That's the biggest protest she can make. It's not like she said, I don't want your Eruv. She went even further. She went and established her own Eruv. So then, what do you see what? The lawyers, as we said, that Stamma, it goes after the husband. As long as she didn't protest, the husband's Eruv is for her. Right, and that's what Middata means. Right. That's what Middata means, she didn't protest. So long as she didn't protest, that's considered middata. Shelo middata means either she verbally said, I don't want this eruv, or she made an eruv. Then already it's considered shelo middata. And the Mishnah continues. Kamahu shi'uro. What is the shi'ur of erubet tehomim? Mazon shetes se'udot lechol ehad ve'had. You need at least the shi'ur of shetes se'udot for each member that is joining in the eruveh. Tehomin. Mezono lechod velo neshabbat velo bimeir. Rabbi Meir says you go according to weekday meals and not Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda omer leshabbat velo lechod. He says you go according to Shabbat meals and not for chol. Veze mitkavnim lakel. Both intended to give you the smaller shi'ur. As she explains that Rabbi Meir holds on Shabbat a person eats more based on the statement that people say Rav Hal besimashchiha. that people always have more room for sweet foods, and therefore we go according to the weekday. Whereas according to the Biyudah, he says, no, on Shabbat you eat less because you eat more meals. You eat three seudot, therefore you save room, so therefore each seudah is less. Basically, each one wanted to give the lesser shi'ud for the Eruv Tehomin. Comes the Mishnah and continues, Rabbi Yochanan ben Beruka Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Beruka said, Mekikar bepundiyon. How much bread you can buy for a pundion's worth, pundion is a coin, midalid se'in besela. When four se'ah of bread are being sold for a se'la. Now, a se'ah is four kav, and therefore, a six kav. A se'ah is six kav, and therefore four se'ah is 24 kav. So that's the amount of total bread that's being sold there. A 24 kav loaf. It's being sold for a sela. Good, but you're not buying a sela's worth. You're buying a pundion's worth. A pundion is 1/48 of a sela, meaning there's 48 pundiyin to one sela. Therefore, one pundion can buy you half a kav of bread. And that is going to be the shi'ud of shtei se'udot for the Eruv, meaning, if you want to just break it down, because we're going to need these figures, one quarter of a kav is one se'udah, and half a kav is two se'udot. The loaf of Rabbi Yochanan is half a kav. Comes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shtei yadot nekikar meshalosh lekav. He says, two-thirds of a loaf, that is one-third of a kav, meaning your loaf is not half a kav like Rabbi Yochanan. Your loaf is one third of a kav. That being said, what is considered shtei seudot? Two thirds of that loaf, meaning one third of it is one seudah. Now, one third of a third would be one ninth. So, therefore, one ninth of a kav is one seudah. Two ninths would be considered two seudot. Comes the Gemara, so it comes out we have a great mahloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, one seudah is a quarter kav. According to Rabbi Shimon, one seudah is a ninth of a kav. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Hetzia lebet amenuga. Half a loaf will be the shi'ur, right, of a bet amenuga. Let's review the law of bet amenuga. Law is that Kohen goes into a house and renders the house Tameh for Tzara'at. Halakha says anybody that goes into the house immediately becomes Tameh. However, the Torah gives a dispensation for the clothes of a person that he's wearing, that there's a little amount of time until the clothes become Tameh. What is the shi'ud? The shi'ud of Akhila. Shi'ud of Akhila, what? So the Gemara says it is half a loaf. Now, what does this mean? Half the loaf that the Hachemim were talking about, the Gabei Eruv. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan's loaf was half a kav. So therefore, according to him, what's half that? Quarter kav. So the amount of time that it takes to eat quarter kav of lechem, that'll be the shi'ur, the time, till your clothes become tameh. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, the loaf was a third of a kav. So half that, half of a third would be a sixth. So the shi'ud of time before the clothes become to me is a sixth of a kav. Now, one more law. V'hatzi hatzia lefsod et hagevia. According to the Torah, if a person eats things that are tameh, food that is tameh, it does not mitameh the person. Except for an of tahor shinit nabela. However, when it comes to other foods that are tameh, Hachamim came along and said, only after you eat a certain shi'ud will you be posel teruma if you touch it. What is that shi'ud? Half of the half of the shi'ud that we said by Eruv. Half of the loaf that we said by Eruv. Let's go according to the shi'ud. Rabbi Yochanan said the loaf is half a kav. Half of the half would be one quarter of a loaf. Where according to Rabbi Shimon, the loaf is talking about a it's really an eighth.
Not a quarter.
An eighth. Half of it is a quarter. Half of that is a eighth. So it's one eighth. Hatsi hatsia. Half of a half is a quarter. Right, it's a quarter of the loaf. So again, it's an eighth. And according to the other shita, it would be a third. We're talking about of a kab. So therefore, half of that would be a sixth. Half of that would be a 1/12. So the machloket would be an eighth. Again, for eating. How much would you eat of food that is tameh? One shita of Yohanan is an eighth of a kav, whereas the Bishimon says a 12th of a kav. Comes the Gemara and says, Vekama mazon, another Gemara wants to know, how much mazon is in ishte se'udot, which means according to the Bimir and the Bihuda. Of course, the first opinions. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Tarte Rifta Ikrayata. Two loaves of bread of the farmers. That she says, what is farmer's bread? Shinosina Ikarim Imahim Lesade Ikarim. Which means when the farmers go out to work, they should take bread with them to eat in the field. So therefore, the shi'ur of two loaves of farmer's bread. That's considered two seudot. Labada barahava amar tarte rifta nehar papaita. Two loaves of the people that come from nehar papaita. The place, humakom, nehar papa. So comes the Gemara and says, amar le Rabbi Yosef, le Rabbi Yosef bered rabba. Right, so Rabbi Yosef tells Rabbi Yosef bered rabba. Abuch, meaning your father Rabba, keman svirale, who rehod like in the smalok, rehod like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Meir went with the Seuda of Chol, whereas Rabbi Yehuda went with the Seuda of Shabbat. Who rehod like? So he says, ki Rabbi Meir svirale. So he told him, my father went like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yosef said, ana name ki Rabbi Meir svirale. He said, I also go like Rabbi Meir. The E can be Uda, because if you're going to go like the Uda, Kasha, Hada Amri Inche, Rav Hale Besimashkiach. Because we know a statement says, the sweeter the food, the more you eat. And therefore, how can he say on Shabbat, eat less? On the contrary, eat more. So if it makes sense that you follow the opinion of the B, meaning that you were measuring according to weekday meals. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tana. Ukrobim devrehem liyot shavim. The shi'ur of Rabbi Yohanan, which is half a kav, is for the shi'ur of Eruv. And the shi'ur of Rabbi Shimon, which was 2/9, they're close to each other. Now how could it be close to each other? Comes out according to Rabbi Yohanan, one si'uda equals a quarter kav. And the other shita says one seudah is 1/9. They're correct. How could the Gemara say ukrobim divrehem liyot shavim?
They're not that close.
So the Gemara says midame, are they close? Are they similar? Did Rabbi Yochanan arba seudata lekaba?
Correct.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's 4 seudot per kav. Did Rabbi Shimon tesha seudata lekaba? It's 9 seudot per kav. That's not kerovim. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda comes along and says, "Tse mehem shlish lehenvani." Now, you didn't factor in the profit of the seller, which means the profit, the seller has to factor in his profit in there. So you have to. We said for a pundion, right? True, a pundion can buy you that shiur of a half a kav. But he's not telling you, he's not selling you half a kav for a punyon. He's taken a third of that punyon
profit.
So therefore you're only getting 2/3 of a punyon worth of bread. So it's really not half a kav. Mm-hmm. You're getting less. Because you've got to factor in the a third less. So therefore, the akati, okay, still, lemor tisha ulemor sheet. So therefore, okay, so instead of a quarter, so you add a third, less, so it's a sixth. So still, it's a sixth to a ninth. It's still far. How could you? So the Gemara is saying, because the shiur of a ninth was not purchasing. You weren't buying anything. He was giving you a standard measure. The shiur of Rabbi Hanan was how much you buy for a punyon. the shiur of Rabbi Shimon was not a purchase price. It was giving you, this is the shiur, the measurement.
So then we don't... even discussing the same thing.
Listen, each rabbi gave the shiur based on different calculations. Rabbi Yochanan gave it according to purchase. So the Gemara is saying, well, when you spend a punyon, you're not getting a punyon's worth. Because he's got a markup. He takes a third markup. So therefore, it's not a quarter per se'udah, a sixth. It's a sixth per se'udah. Okay, so now it's a sixth to a ninth. So the Gemara says, because you subtract a third from a quarter.
Because his profit margin at the retail level is a third.
Right, we'll leave you with a sixth total. So comes the Gemara, yes. So wait, that's for one se'udah. So therefore, the difference in the se'udah is one is one sixth, and one is one ninth. Gemara, it's still not too close. So the Gemara says, "Ela ki idach de Rav Hizda." So you have to go according to another statement of Rav Hizda. The Amar se mehem mehsa lehinvani. It's not a third markup; it's 50% markup, and therefore you're only getting a half a pundion's worth of goods. So instead of a quarter, it took you down to an eighth. Also, now it's close. One is an eighth. And what is a ninth? The akati le mor tesha ul mor tamne. Still, you're right. One is a ninth and one is an eighth. Hainu de kamar ukrobim devrem liot shavim. That's what we said. It's not equal. It's kerovim. The only problem is, make up your mind that was down the markup. In one place you tell me the guy marks up a third. Another time you tell me marks up a half. So the Gemara says, kashya dirav hizda adirav hizda. La kasha, had the kayahiv ba'ala bayit sive, had the lo yahiv ba'ala bayit sive. Depends who's supplying the wood. If, because you got to make the bread. So therefore, if the ba'ala bayit supplies his own wood, the markup is only a third. Because he's supplying the wood for labor, exactly, and equipment. However, if the ba'ala bayit's not supplying the wood, meaning the baker's got to supply the wood also, so he's marking up also 50%. So therefore, for materials. So therefore, it depends. Sometimes it's a 50%, and sometimes it's a third.